Okay, hello, welcome back to Adrenaline. My name is Neil Heligers. I am, as ever, your dutiful host. And, you know, as we've talked about, I'm not just your host. I have been a voice actor. And I've worked for Realm a bunch of times. And one of my favorite things about it is being part of the process about how shows are made here at Realm, because it's not a massive company. It's a bunch of really dedicated producers working with the writers, working with the voice actors to make these stories happen for you. So what I'm very happy to bring to you guys right now is an interview with Sam Bush, the writer of Overleaper, and the producer, Diana Foe. They're going to talk all about how Overleaper came to be. But of course, one of the ways that Overleaper came to be is this sponsor right here.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Today's specials are brought to you by Fancy Feast. From impeccable pâtés to silky broths to chef-inspired creations, a memorable mealtime experience is always on the menu for your cat. Learn more at fancyfeast.com. Together we're as happy as can be.
And okay, that is enough chatting in the lobby, as it were. For now, I'm your host, Neil Heligers, and here is a peek behind the curtain at the making of Overleaper.
Hello, listeners. This is Diana M. Foe. I am a story producer here at Realm, and I am super, super excited to talk to the writer of Overleaper, Sam Bush. Sam, hi. Thank you again for joining us today.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
It's been extremely exciting, and I know our listeners are just fascinated by this world you presented in Overleaper, have been enjoying our actress starring it, Thor Birch. But also, I want to take a moment to really explore the depths of the Overleaper world, the thought process you had into writing the show, and, you know, exploring the context that listeners might have gotten a sense of as they've been enjoying the show with us. So thank you again for joining us here today.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
So let's start with talking a bit about the inspiration behind Overleaper. Now, what are the origins of the show and what drove you to write it?
I think probably the way I started it was I had just come off reading Blake Crouch's Dark Matter, and Jason Matthews wrote Red Sparrow. And between those, that sci-fi thriller and that spy thriller, I had maybe the inklings of the story at that point. And I had just gone to this great dinner with six Navy SEALs, where my wife and I were having dinner with them, and I definitely think that you know, inspired some of the military aspects of that. And I just, you know, woke up one morning and I didn't have any idea what I was going to write, but I think really it was just maybe the easiest thing I've ever written.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. It's great how sometimes it can seem like happenstance when inspiration strikes. And it also makes you come across like, yeah, all of my Navy SEAL buddies and I went out to dinner and I just came home and thought of an idea for a book. That also sounds like a whole story in itself. And we can talk a little bit more about the background research you've done while writing the show too in a little bit. But first, what really pulled me in is the concept of just parallel universes. I love a good sci-fi tale that takes a little bit of a different skewed perspective of how we normally see the world. And I was curious about your, you know, experience researching the science-y-ish part of the show.
Well, you know, I'm not a professional researcher or definitely not a scientist. And I wish I were more like Michael Crichton, because he probably could have done a much different interpretation of the multiverse and the research around that. But I did, you know, do some research into quantum mechanics and multiverse theory. And, you know, not as much had been written in the fiction world when I first wrote Overleaper as, you know, has been written now. But I think I give the reader, you know, just enough with Oscar Orrington's character, the physicist, you know, to understand the multiverse and you know, how different timelines work and maybe some physics behind that. But really, it's pretty sparse. And this is, you know, more of a story than a sci-fi, hard sci-fi tale.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, too. And what I think is really interesting about Overleaper is it's simultaneously a cross-genre show that seems to mash up the military thriller, you know, elements of family drama, elements of, you know, high concept sci-fi, but have it all be presented in a very accessible, absorbable way. And I'm glad you mentioned Dr. Orrington, because I think his role, even though it's minor in context of the entire show, really sets up the listener in believing, okay, if you've never heard about parallel universes before, here's a super 101 introduction about what we're talking about in a way that is extremely absorbable, but also really fascinating, because I think parallel universes nowadays just seems to be a popular topic happening in sci-fi. And, you know, even like 5 years ago, there wouldn't have been as much buzz about, you know, the multiverse, but I think now it's just popping up everywhere. I'm thinking about, you know, films like Doctor Strange in the Universe of Madness, which is part of like the Marvel phase three, I think. Is it three or four? One of those phases, but they definitely had built up this element of the multiverse in the MCU that is now really paying off in interesting ways. And I'm also thinking about, you know, the indie film, Everything, Everywhere at Once, which is absolutely amazing and mind-blowing. And I cried several times. I just think that parallel universes have cropped up in a way that used to be a very hardcore sci-fi concept, but has now become more of a pop culture cachet. And do you have any thoughts about why people are so fascinated by it at this specific moment?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, the multiverse is now getting more attention because maybe 5-10 years ago, a lot more research on quantum mechanics has been done. The original concept of a multiverse goes back to the 1960s, and there was, you know, there was science behind it then. But with, you know, the advent of modern physics and string theory, there's more plausibility behind it. And I think that that's something that, you know, that viewers of Doctor Strange and Everything Everywhere Now at Once, which are great movies, I love them both, they kind of skip by the science entirely, which is fine, but there is science behind it. And I think that, you know, storytellers like to be at the cutting edge of something, you know, whether it was time travel in the 1950s through really still present or you know, other elements. I mean, I mentioned Michael Crichton and, you know, how he was at the cutting edge of writing about DNA with Jurassic Park. Those are the kinds of things that you really want to get your hands on as a storyteller when it's new. And at some point, probably multiverse stories are going to be old hat. But even so, I think that done right, it's just an element of a story. Just like, you know, time travel had been around forever when the Terminator series came out, but it was done in a unique and interesting way. And I think the movies that you mentioned, and I think also Overleaper, they take that concept and they don't make that the core element of it. It's an element of it, but there's, you know, there's a lot more to the story. It's really, it's sort of a multiverse story. And that's just also sort of just one of the elements of it.
Right. No, that's very true. And I'm also thinking of, like, it just hit me now, like Quantum Leap did a reboot. And I think parallel universes are just really having a moment because you're right, the science is there. It makes it more understandable in interesting ways that can just, you know, scratch an itch in people's brains. I also think, and this is my total like opinion, grain of salt thing, is that we, you know, as a culture right now are really thinking like, oh, are we in the darkest timeline? Do we doom ourselves? You know, are we trapped in the end results of our own circumstances? And what can we do, even if it is a flight of fancy or or a sci-fi premise, like escape that, you know, present time that we've built ourselves up towards. So I do think there's a lot of common between parallel universes and time travel, because they both, I think, to an extent, talk about how people deal with regret, you know, and thinking about the what ifs. But like, you know, to steer into my next question, you know, not only is this like a sci-fi story, but it's also a military thriller. And Audrey Beach is a staff sergeant. She's an air commando who has a history embedded in the special forces. And that's what also drew me to the show, because we know that women are still, you know, marginalized in different ways in the martial forces. And Audrey talks a lot about, you know, the challenges she faces just by existing, you know, in the military, especially in a very elite force. I'm just curious, like, one, you know, what kind of research or like, what was your thought process? Or who did you talk to other than those, you know, Navy SEALs you hang out with in like building up her character and just learning about the whole like military structure that you mentioned in the story? But also, is she particularly like inspired by anyone you know in real life in any sort of way?
You know, well, she's not inspired by anybody that I know in real life, but her character really is one of a compilation of a lot of different people and a lot of different experiences. And like you hit on, women just really in all elements of society have been marginalized, but also I think it's really much more of a story of how women are breaking into areas that had been cut off to them in the past. When I wrote Overleaper, there were no women in air combat controller roles. And I believe that's just starting to change. In fact, there was an article just the other week about Air Force Special Operations and women. But also, women are now in the Green Berets, which is, you know, the Special Forces, which instead of Special Operations is usually really everything else, but Special Forces, Green Berets. And women have made, you know, progress in just so many elements of society that it's normal to see that they're making progress in these combat roles, and not just combat roles, but elite combat roles. So, you know, that's part of who Audrey is, but also the military background is really just, you know, part of her background. And it starts the story off, but it's really not a military story. She's a military character in a non-military story, I would say. And, you know, I think that what makes Audrey important is that she's suffered a lot of trauma in divorce, in the death of her parents, and in avoiding it because of spoiler territory, but her second half, her twin, and the extra trauma that version of herself has endured is really, I think, what makes her human and what drives her. And what drew me to the character also. So I think she's, you know, she's much more than that, than just a military character, though she does have that background in it and makes her, I think, really, really fun to engage with. And also someone that, you know, we all can kind of look up to.
Yeah, I definitely find Audrey extremely relatable, particularly because I just know a lot of people in my life that have that same sense of humor. You know, it's like when push comes to shove, you just crack a joke and, you know, to try to break the tension. And that's very much part of her personality. And yeah, and just having that very realistic, like grounded approach and mindset, you know, makes her extremely relatable, like as a character. One of the things that sometimes when I see it happening in like a media, you know, one of their, it's like a book or a TV show or something, but like, why does character make that decision? It doesn't make any sense, you know, and having her go through like her like thought process of just being very like logical, Occam's razor when you have to, like, you know, I just really, really appreciate that a lot. I guess like to turn back to interesting things you might've encountered when writing this book, are there any particular side notes or facts that you learned either on the science end, on the military end, or anything in between that you want to include the story, but it didn't actually make the final cut of the show?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are little things like that. I think that a lot, frankly, got cut along the way, whether it was my own editing after the first draft, or, you know, other readers, or my agent, were you and you know, the great team. There were jokes that got cut. There were major kind of background plot points that I think got changed. And there was there were elements of the story that are different, but I think ultimately it got pressed into a diamond by people, you know, far more capable than me. And I think that the final story is really very close to what it started out with. And sure, there are elements of the science that I removed, and there were military pieces that weren't appropriate. There were bad guys, and I mean, I cut entire characters. It's just, you know, things like that happen, and it's better for it in the end. You know, any writer will agree that it's painful, but when you have such a nice product, and I'm so happy to have, you know, Thora Birch reading it, along with all the other, you know, great actors. It's just wonderful to see, you know, what this production became.
Thank you. You know, it's been such a wonderful process just working with you and just bringing this show to its course. And you're right. It is very much like being pressed into a diamond. It's a lot of pressure, but, you know, but in the end it's worth it. One of the other elements I wanted to touch base on, I mentioned earlier, of my observation about parallel universes and what ifs and how people are attracted to that so much. I think in this story, you know, we have someone who is a soldier, but also a mother, a parent. And Overleaper seems to explore that path not taken in a sense. Like, what do you do if you try to prioritize your career or if you try to prioritize your family? And what's gained and what's lost? So that theme, like, strike you at all while creating the show? Did it make you like think about how you approached her character and the choices she makes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that between the fact that this is a multiverse story in some core of it, and Audrey's character also, it kind of demands that. I think, you know, a lot of people in the military would tell you that they are pulled between two worlds, especially when they're out on deployment for years. They are pulled away from their families, you know, regardless of what their families may look like. But for Audrey, she's got a daughter, she's got a husband, and she's, like lots of us, she's filled with regret over what happened in her life, the divorce, what happened with her daughter, and just the years apart. And I think she is haunted by the what ifs, and it's to an extent that you know, her doppelganger is willing to come back and risk everything to not to set anything right, not to change the past, but really just to avenge the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it relatable, and it's core to who Audrey is to have those regrets. And I think it's core to a lot of people who have been in similar situations to her.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it like so, it makes it feel like so much more than like an action show too, when it has kind of like messages you can walk away from and really have conversations about. And I think that's one of the beautiful elements about a really strong science fiction story or premise, is that it's more than just the science behind it, but it's about the circumstances, the big questions that we ask ourselves as people all the time.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
But to wrap our like serious conversations about things with something fun and light, if you had the ability to travel the multiverse, what alternate dimension would you hope to find?
Oh man, that is fun. Well, I assume that in the multiverse, there would be a one timeline with zero calorie delicious chocolate. And I would definitely, be looking to have that. I guess also in a multiverse of infinite possibilities, there would be one without any war, without any environmental pollution. And I think really maybe the bigger question is, and you brought it up earlier, the multiverse makes us look at the what ifs for what could be happening now. But also, if it's a possibility on an infinite number of timelines, then it's a possibility now. And if there is a world without pollution, then why can't we make it in our current world? And and so I think that that's really what, you know, what drives a lot of us to enjoy these types of stories. It also makes us wonder what we could do to make the world a better place, make our own lives a better place, and maybe get some of that zero cal chocolate.
Yeah, that is a really great answer. And it's, I love your optimistic view too. Like that's actually something I hadn't really thought about as much. And I think it does make the show, but also the concept of other timelines much more, you know, forgiving and optimistic about ourselves and our world than previously thought. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And so in the process of developing Overleaper into a show, you know, let's just touch base about that whole journey, because Overleaper originally did not start off as an audio drama, but it was a book. And I'm pretty interested in like hearing your thoughts, Sam, but what was the process like for your end? And I can talk a little bit about my end about developing this if for audio.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wrote Overleaper in 2019. I wrote it, I think, in something like 4 months, 90,000 words as a book. It just came right out. It was the right time and the right place for me. And that was the easy part in a way, in retrospect, except for now, which is definitely the easy part. But then my excellent agent, Gina Panettiere, shopped it around a bit. And we decided that the best fit for it was actually with Realm. And at that time, we weren't sure, I think, whether it was going to be a podcast, audio drama, narrated book. We didn't really know, but what ended up happening from my perspective was just the absolute best thing that could have been done. It was made into, obviously, as the listeners probably know, it's made into this show that they were listening to now. And from that point, Diana and Fred were really instrumental in helping make changes to make it fit, you know, cutting it a bit, maybe more than a bit, and making some changes here and there. at some point, you know, you really took over, Diana, and I kind of sat back. And this is really the great part, is getting to have it be out there and be something that I enjoy listening to. And I kind of almost feel like I didn't write it, because a lot of writers, I don't know, I don't like to read my own work. It's painful sometimes, anything. But listening to someone like Thora Birch, or, you know, the rest of the cast read these lines, doesn't feel like listening to my own voice the same way that other things do. And it's really a very pleasant experience.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And for listeners out there, Fred Greenhodge is our head of audio, and he helped me adapt, you know, Overleaper into a show. And I also had some really great support from other members of my content teams. I'm just going to give them a shout out too. Nicole Otto, Marco Palmieri, and Michael Coulter. They're all colleagues of mine, fellow producers. They like gave input, you know, in one way or another, towards the development of the show. And I'm really appreciated for them too. And that just shows that the biggest difference between like working in books and working in this podcast space that we're in, particularly in audio drama, it is like theater. It is such a collaborative effort. Everyone has this vision that we hold together, you know, like this, you know, glowing orb or something, our North Star, and really working towards refining the show that to be something that we can all be on board with. And it's been such an extreme pleasure, you know, to work with you this on Sam. And I'm really glad that you've trusted us to make it the final way, and it came out so well. And I guess, like, you know, if you want to give a particular reaction comment, when you heard that Thora was cast, what did you think?
Oh, so I loved it. So I think that I read the email with my wife sitting right next to me, and I do think that Thora Birch is better known among women than among men. But I had heard the name, and I immediately looked her up, and, you know, a lot of great things. And I remembered her in things. I remembered her in American Beauty and the little girl in the Patriot game. But my wife was like, Hocus Pocus, you know? So, and I have other friends who know her best from Ghost World. And really, I think that I credit you guys at Realm, not just for Overleaper, but frankly, across the board with the talent that you have put together for your shows. I really think there's something, you know, pretty winning here, and I love it.
Great. Thank you. And I hope our listeners out there continue to have these like same feelings we're sharing right now. So thank you very much, Sam, for like all of your input, all of like the love that you shared, the trust that you gave us, the creative insights. It really helped bring the show to life.
Great. And thank you to Diana and your whole team. This has just been a great experience.
Thanks again, Sam, for everything. And thank you, listeners out there, for enjoying Overleaper so far. You know, we really hope that you continue to enjoy it for the rest of the show. And we'll bring it back to the second half. Again, thank you so much.
So thank you first so much to Sam and Diana for that great look behind the curtain of Overleaper, looking under the Overleaper, whichever you prefer. And especially, you know, these days where we have artificial intelligence engines starting to make creative choices for people, which is crazy. It's good to have that reminder that the best storytelling comes from that collaboration between real humans who are passionate about their stories that they want to tell and working together to make that happen. One day we'll do a little behind the scenes interview in my little booth here so you can see how adrenaline comes together. Spoiler, it's just the same story. It's just me working with Realm's awesome producers. That's about it. Anyway, more exciting than that is Overleaper Episode 6 coming your way very, very soon. Thank you for listening. My name is Neil, your host on Adrenaline, and this is Realm. Take care.
You're listening to Adrenaline Overleaper, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwein have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
Adrenaline is produced by Mary Osadolahi and Haley Wagreich. Associate produced by Nicole Kreuter and Alexis Latshaw. Executive produced by Molly Barton, Julian Yap, and Marcy Wiseman. Hosted by Neil Heligers. Audio editing by Angela Yi. Original theme by Marcus Bagala. Cover art by Kendall Thomas. Find more shows like Adrenaline by following Realm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at realm.fm.